Okay. So, anyways, for our seventh Sunday of Easter, we'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, and we're going to read from chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 44 through 43. And then I was going to also say, we do have John and Monica have a daughter graduating, but that's why they're not here today. They're in Georgia. So the daughter from Georgia is graduating. But it's not that we're looking for you to invent graduates. It's just we don't want to leave anybody out. And so anyways, and we like cake too. So if we have graduates, we have cake. So anyways. But anyways, back to this. So our sermon text will be taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. We'll continue reading this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. Luke 24, beginning at verse 44, in Jesus' name. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, these are your words that are before us. And we ask, Father, that by the power of this same Spirit that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, that, Father, we would not hear from the wisdom of men, for that is vain. But rather, Father, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know your word is truth. Amen. So we're dealing also here with the ascension of our Lord. And that, to me, is just something that I would love to experience that. Can you imagine watching him? You have to understand. Now, these individuals were following Jesus. Many of them followed for up to 3 years. They were following him, and they watched him in his ministry do powerful and wonderful things. And they had a real understanding that there would be this mighty valor that would come, and he would actually free them from the grips of Rome. So these individuals, they were often looking towards this earthly life, more or less, to free them from that grip. Rome came in and offered protection to Israel, and for that protection, you know, they didn't want to do it for free. There was taxation that came in, and it became quite a burden for the children of Israel to keep paying for this protection, and now they were kind of entrapped in this. So it was something in the beginning that they desired. The Assyrians kept coming in and taking over and doing things, so they needed protection. So they sought for this from Rome. And now it becomes very difficult for them. You know, we kind of like the protection of our government, right? We kind of like the way things are in our nation. But one thing that I think we all can have in common is we do grumble over taxes. But that's just the way it is. It's human nature. But this got to be quite a burden. But also, Israel was used to being number one. They were definitely used to being the children of God with great power and valor. There was many great prophets, many great kings, many great times in their life where they saw this great victory in their behalf. And now they're not seeing it so much. Well, comes along Jesus, and Jesus enters in, and he really has great power. He has victory for them. And so he comes and he shows the power of the kingdom of God. They don't quite understand it that way, but they see it as, here is a man that can finally get us back to our prestige where we were with King David. This is an individual that can make us number one again. And so they're looking towards that. I mean, Jesus, he healed those that had leprosy. He made a lot of very powerful statements. And we kind of often think the powerful statements are, you know, more or less towards the Pharisees and things like that. But he made some statements that were bold that we overlook all the time. All the time. Think about it. He turned around and he told a man with a withered hand, stretch it out. How does a man with a withered up hand stretch it out? But the point of it is, acting in the word of God, acting in the word of Christ upon his command, he stretches it out, and that is the ability. You ever think about it? He tells the lame man to get up. What in the lame man's mind would ever think make him think that he could get up? But it's in obedience to his word that this takes place. This is important for us because he's going to give us his word. He's going to tell us what we are to do. And the first thing that I want us to understand is that we don't do this by our own strength. We don't do any of this by our own power. So many times I feel that we can get overwhelmed by thinking we must change something, we must do something, we must make an impact. Jesus says it very well in the Gospel of John. Without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Our congregations are a huge blessing. All of them. The congregations in this whole area of all denominations preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ are a huge blessing. They are. Too many times we see things by denomination. But the fact of it is, to preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ is a blessing to the community around. But sometimes our eyes get a little skewed. Sometimes our vision is a little narrow. Sometimes in our humanness, we can forget about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of his word, and we can be focused upon other things. Many congregations get caught up in this. I'm not immune to it. You know, there's many times that I wonder, what does that congregation have that we don't have? Why are there so many people going there? Why are there so many people going there? Maybe we ought to just be thankful that they are going. But sometimes as congregations, we can get fixated on, you know, pastor must be losing his touch. And I'm not saying anybody here. Let's not go down that road. I'm saying in general, any pastor. Because some people are wandering. Some people are going here. Some people are going there. Maybe they're going for the music. Maybe they're going for more outreach. Maybe they're going for the in-depth Bible studies. But the reality of it is, the purpose of the church is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in this world. And that's what this world needs to hear more of. And that's what Jesus is going to commission us to. Now remember, he makes a lot of statements in the scripture that maybe we overlook that are extremely powerful. As I said, how does a man with a withered up hand stretch it out? It's almost like telling someone, and this is kind of rude, guy sitting in a wheelchair, well, when I come near you, you've got to stand up to greet me. But see, I don't have the power to get that man out of that wheelchair. But when Jesus the Christ speaks that word, and he walks up to a man in that wheelchair and says, get up, guess what they're going to do? They're going to get up. He has that ability. And he gives us the ability, through the power of his Holy Spirit, to enter into this world and to be a force to be reckoned with. To encourage, to preach, to teach, and to do all of the works that he's called us to do. So these guys, they saw Jesus upon this earth. They saw him in a powerful way, do so many things that were mind-blowing. Think about it. I already talked about the hand. I already talked about the lame man. We could talk about the man born blind. We could talk about the thousands that he fed. We could talk about the woman with the issue of blood. We could talk about the individual that died and he raised from the dead, Jairus' daughter. There are so many things that he has done that are so powerful. And now, he's gone. All of their hopes, all of their dreams of being free from the grips of Rome, it didn't work out how they thought it would. It's not that he didn't tell them. He shared with them on many occasions that the Son of Man will be taken and he'll be abused and that he will be put to death. And then he says, and I'll be risen on the third day. But sometimes we have very short-term hearing. We don't listen very long. You know, we start hearing things we don't want to hear, and sometimes we have a tendency to shut our ears off. I'm going to be abused. I don't want to hear that. I'm going to be killed. I don't want to hear that. You all will deny me. I don't want to hear that. But I will live. We need to hear the whole message. And that's important for us even in our earthly lives, that when we sit down and we talk with people, that we would hear the whole conversation. See, I'm a little ADD in that area. You know, it's like, if you really want to talk to me, I'm going to be blunt. Come to my office. Sit down in front of me in a chair and talk to me. And I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but when you're talking to me, and I'm just talking about my personal life, you're talking to me in the fellowship hall or something, I'm so ADD sometimes, it's like, you're trying to tell me something, and I hear somebody else talking, and I'm kind of listening to that one, and then somebody else is talking, and I'm kind of listening to that one, and somebody laughs over there, and that might be more fun than this conversation. In other words, we get very multitasky in our listening. You know, we need to hear the whole thing. We need to have ears to hear. Jesus had told them this many times, but they're hiding in an upper room because they're afraid. Understandably, their hopes are dashed. And so when they're in the upper room, it's kind of interesting because there were women that had gone to the tomb. And they had come back and reported in reality that Jesus wasn't there. And so this kind of gets shared with them. And there's two that are rocking, same chapter, on the road to walking. What's that road? Not the road to Emmaus. Yeah, road to Emmaus. Yeah, so anyways, I got the right story. But anyways, they're walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're all bummed out. We went through this in a couple sermons ago. And Jesus walks alongside of them. And then through the revelation and the breaking of bread, they realize this is Jesus that they were talking to. And so they're kind of fired up, and they run back to those individuals that are hiding in the upper room, and they're sharing with them. Sharing with them that Jesus is alive, that we met with them. And then they turn around, and then actually, while they're sharing and talking about this, it's in the same chapter that we're looking at today, it says very plainly, verse 36, and they were talking about these things. And what takes place? Jesus stood among them. Jesus stood among them. Remember, the scripture tells us the doors were barred. They were locked. Nobody could get in. They were protecting themselves. But guess who stands in the midst of the room? Jesus. Have you ever had to have a moment when you realize that I'm not Jesus? That you think maybe you are, maybe you can be God, you can play God? I had a moment one time where I realized I wasn't Jesus. I hope I have that moment every day. But anyway, I couldn't sleep one night. And so anyways, I went into the next bedroom, and there was a computer in there, and I was looking up stuff on computer and stuff, and I didn't want to wake Judy, so I just left the monitor on and no lights on, and it's just the next bedroom from our bedroom. And so I'm in there, and I was looking at stuff on eBay. You know, I've got to buy something good, I'm sure. But anyways, finally I started feeling drowsy, so I said, I'm going to bed. Shut the computer thing off. My eyes were blinded by the light, and I went walking out of the bedroom, but I didn't realize the door was shut. And it wasn't latched, so it was about 2 inches open. And I slammed into that door as hard as it could be, full bore, walked into that door and woke my wife up. She yells from bed, what is going on? I sheepishly opened the door and I walked into the bedroom and I said, I learned I'm not Jesus. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I can't walk through doors. He can walk through doors. Christ can walk through all the barriers of our life. He's in our midst. And he wants us to be encouraged. We don't have that ability, but he does. And if there's doors that are shut before us, Christ can allow them doors to be open for each and every one of us, that we can minister, that we can share, that we can encourage. Because that is our purpose. You ever hear that saying, you know, sometimes I get in the dumps and sometimes I get really blue and I think life is bad, you know? But then I go and I help somebody and I feel better. You know, there's people that come and say, thank you, Pastor, for doing this. Actually, doing ministry often helps us even feel better. But brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we're called to do. We're called to enter into people's lives and encourage them and strengthen them and give them this hope and give them this restoration. So anyways, he walks in the midst of them and he stands there, and what does he say to them? Peace be unto you. This is our God. He doesn't want us to be afraid of him with a terror. Rather, he enters into our midst and he says, peace be unto you. And then they go through the conversation. He says, no, I'm real. Feel me. Touch me. Understand, I'm not a spirit. I'm not just a ghost. I'm here. In fact, he ends this part of the scripture here by saying, give me a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and he ate it before them to prove that he is fully there. That's a powerful thing. To understand, to know that Christ is there. So then, he turns around and now he encourages them. He says, I've spoken these words with you. In other words, I've shared what's going to take place. I've shared the testimony of my purpose upon this earth with you. He says, and really, I shared all of this so that you would know that even the books of Moses and all the prophets and the Psalms, that they are fulfilled in me. Everything has been completed. That they all speak of me. And then he says something very powerful here in verse 45. What does he do? He opens their minds to understand the scriptures. Just like in the breaking of bread with those men, Jesus was revealed. Jesus has the opportunity and the ability to reveal himself to us. What do we ask? And how is he revealed even in our day and age? I'm sure it's got to be on YouTube. Maybe it's on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Snapper Chatter or whatever you guys got. I don't know. Those things confuse me. I do have Facebook, and sometimes I wish I didn't have that because I think it's getting worse. But the reality of it is, he is revealing himself. He seeks for us to know him. He opened their minds to understand the scripture. We find it many places in scripture where they actually share after, you know, we didn't know what Jesus was talking about. And then after the coming of the Spirit, then we knew. He wants us to know. He wants us to be empowered. He wants his revelation to be known to each and every one of us. And that's the thing. God is known by revelation. And how do we know him? How has the revelation come? We were talking about a little bit about it in Bible study this morning. Ultimately through the Word of God, by the power of His Spirit, through His living Word. Read that Word. I know I repeat that a lot. Listen to it. There are some good things on YouTube because you can listen to a lot of sermons and things like that, and those things are very powerful too. And I'm not saying that we can't have anything in our life secular. I mean, we do, whether we want to admit it or not. But where's the balance? Where's the balance? His Word is revelation. Through prayer is revelation. Through preaching is the revelation. God is made known through all of these things. If we want to know him all the more, I guess there's no other way to say it, be more involved. In your life, take actually a purpose of getting to know him. Read, study, talk. Do what you're doing now. Come to his word. Hear his word, because he desires to reveal himself to you. And I know sometimes it's not always the most exciting thing. I mean, golf definitely would probably be better for a lot of people today than coming to church. Not for me. I don't play golf. I'm kind of a boring person. I either go to church or work. But anyway, I'm starting to get into a little bit of farming, but it's only because I like tractors and stuff. I don't really like doing the garden stuff. I just like driving things and mowing. But anyway, so you turn around and he says, you know, he opens everything. He reveals himself. And then he turns around and he speaks to them. He says to them, he says, thus it is written, he said, that Christ should suffer and on the third day be raised from the dead. And really what he's saying here is Scripture has continuously pointed to the coming of Christ our Savior. Continually pointed to his death. Continually pointed to the power of his death to conquer hell, death, and the devil. Continually points to his resurrection. And continually points to the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, and this is the purpose. Verse 47. Something that we don't like to hear a lot of, something that we think is maybe an old-fashioned statement. He says that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. In his name. Just here in Hancock. Is that what it says? No. It says in all nations. This is extremely important, especially for the day that they were living in. Because Jesus says it very straightforward in another part of Scripture. You will start here in Jerusalem, and you will go into the uttermost parts of this world. He says, even unto Samaria. Unto Samaria. This was mind-boggling to them. Because Samaritans were considered unclean in the Israelites' understanding. And they would never reach out to them. But Jesus is saying very plainly, the boundaries are gone. We need to proclaim his word in all places that we go. And so he says very plainly, now, he says, this is the message that you carry forward. Now, once again, I'm going to go back to what we opened with. Jesus made a lot of statements that seem very difficult for human beings. Stretch forth thy hand. Get up. Go and look. Wash your eyes and see. All of these were performed and done by the power of God. Are we to do this separate from that? I don't think so. In fact, he'll even tell us that we can't in this very text. But he says to them, repentance. What is repentance? See, that's the thing that we don't like, because that means we got to have a change of heart, a change of mind, a turning around, however you may want to state it. This is the way I'll state it. That we would turn from ourselves and from the world and look to God. That we would look to Christ Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. That we would understand our security is in him and him alone, nothing else. But we turn around and we think, well, preaching repentance is finding someone smoking a cigarette and yelling at them. You got to turn from that. Or we find some other habit that we don't like. I just picked on that one. If you smoke, I'm sorry. I have habits. Eating. Eating is one of mine. I like to eat a lot. And I've been doing this fasting thing, not that you care, but it has made me truly appreciate food. It's made me appreciate even how much I abuse food. So cigarettes are pretty expensive. Maybe you could fast from cigarettes a little and you'll appreciate the next one. You know, I don't know. Probably bad advice. But anyways, point being is, you know, that we would have this turn. Repentance isn't just yelling at someone and telling them, now straighten up your life and God will love you. Repentance is a call to see him, to know him. You know, we feel often that we know him through our music. And I'm not saying that can't have emotional ties to us. It definitely can. And music is beautiful. God has given us that gift. He even has it. The Psalms are basically music. But the message of salvation, Christ Jesus, is the gospel. It is the gospel. So he says, you're going to enter into this world, you're going to preach repentance, a turning about. And in that turning about, you're going to find something else that'll come along. Forgiveness. That's what I think is so powerful here. He says, when we see Christ, we are forgiven. When we, you don't want to say the word accept because people get angry about that. Received is a little more tolerable. I don't care how you get there. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as a redemptive work in your life? Do you know him as your king? Do you know what he has done for you? Because I'm going to tell you what he's done for you. He loved you so much. Though he was perfect, he came to this earth and he took all the filth that you feel at times. He took all the detriment that you feel at times. Because sometimes we don't feel it. We're a little immune. We took everything that we vilely hate in other people. And he took it upon himself. That we could be clean. That we could be pure. He came for you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a message that needs to be proclaimed through this world. Because so many people in this world feel unloved. So many people feel like they're lost. Sometimes as Christians, we can even have a sense of this when we start looking around too much. But God has loved you so much. He came in the form of flesh, and he took your debt, and he nailed it to a cross. And nailing it to a cross, he gave his life for each and every one of you. But he did not remain dead, but victoriously rose from that grave, that we would have hope in him. Can we say, thank you, Father? Because that is the gift of forgiveness. That we would be moved to understand and to know the power of his love. It doesn't matter what the world is saying. It doesn't matter what other congregations are doing. What is important is the proclamation of his word. That you are lost. I was lost. And he has come for us. And he has found us. And he has saved us. This is a gift of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what he is saying. Forgiveness is found here. You are forgiven. Each and every one of you. You are forgiven by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And this world is living with a debt of detriment because they don't understand the grace of God. And we are the ambassadors to share that with them. In spite of yourself, God loves you. In spite of yourself, God has come for you. In spite of you, God has given everything for you. Turn and know him. Trust him. Listen to him. This is the whole purpose of the proclamation of this gospel. That's why churches are upon this earth. Not to entertain. Not to tickle my ears with the wonderful. I'm not saying it's bad. I have Pandora. I have Sirius. I have all this stuff. I listen to all this music. And if we have talented people, if you have a gift of playing something, come on up and play it. That's not what I'm talking about. The purpose of the church is to proclaim his truth. His truth is, we were lost. And he came to save us. And in saving us, he had to give his life that we would turn and we'd receive that gift. Forgiveness. We are forgiven. I don't believe there's a millennial to come. I don't believe in any of that. I believe in reality that when Jesus hung upon that cross, and that gets me in trouble. People say, oh, so you don't believe in the whole 1,000 years? This is me. You can, whatever God leads you to, that's your business. But I believe Christ Jesus has come. He has paid the debt. And he has said very plainly, upon that cross, it is finished. When Jesus himself makes those statements, tell me, what is undone? The plan of salvation is laid. The path of salvation, even as Ephesians speaks about it, is given. We are about to believe. We can write books on Left Behind. We can do all that stuff. Remember, this is the ascension of our Lord, so I can talk about this. But as I've said before, if Tim LaHaye is a little bit right, what does that change about the gospel? Why are we trying to scare the bejeebers out of people saying you're going to be left behind for 1,000 years to deal with a bunch of garbage? Preach the gospel now. Encourage people now that if by some chance they were right, no one would be left behind. Jesus says, don't wait until the next rain. Don't wait for anything else. He says, now you will preach repentance and forgiveness of sins, and that it will be proclaimed everywhere in Jesus' name, through Jerusalem all the way unto Samaria. And he says, and you are my witnesses. You are the ones that I'm empowering to do this. He says, and I'm sending you something, though. I'm sending you the promise of the Father. He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And this is really the clincher. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to continue to do this work. And he tells them, I want you to stay here in Jerusalem. Don't even go venturing out until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if that was true for the apostles, the 12 apostles, wouldn't it be all the more true for us? That we would not rely on ourselves, that we would not really rely on secular books, that we would not rely on all these other things to gauge whether or not people are in or out, but that we would be moved and motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So when we read our word, ask God through the Spirit to reveal. When we come to church, even though your pastor's a little hoo-hoo, ask that God would reveal through the words. Whether it's me, whether it's Scott, whether it's anybody else, whether it's Mark, whoever gets up here to preach. We're all a little crazy in our own way. I bet if you actually talked about yourself, you're probably a little crazy too. But the fact of it is, we ask that God would reveal through the power of His Spirit, through the power of His Word, that we would obtain this great gift. That we would obtain. He says, stay here. He says, until you are clothed from power on high, receiving of that Holy Spirit. And then he leads them out into Bethany. And basically, he blesses them. He blesses them. And that's why we do these things. Not only did Moses do this, but yet Jesus blesses. That we would all receive that. And it's kind of an interesting thing because we often say, you know, humble your hearts and receive the benediction. Actually, it's lift up your faces and receive it. Because you are being blessed. That God is blessing. It's not us. It's the words of promise. And so anyways, he blesses them. And then he parted from them and he was carried up in heaven. And they got to witness this. That he's going there and he's sitting there at the right hand of God the Father to be an advocate for you. For you. You're not alone. Not only does he give you the power of the Spirit in your life, but he also gives you an advocate. That, you know, he could sit there and defend you before God the Father. I paid for that. I paid for that. I paid for that. That's how much you're loved. You personally are loved that much. And it says, when he was being ascended up, they worshiped him. Very powerful, again, Trinitarian here. They ascribe worth to him, and he receives it. And then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Hope. They had a hope. And it says that they were continually in the temple. For what purpose? See, it didn't matter about everybody else at the temple. They weren't focused on everybody else at the temple. They came to the temple to bless God. That's where they believed he was. That was their tradition. They understood this very well because he even said that he would be there. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's beautiful that you're all here. It is. I'm very thankful and love each and every one of you. But ultimately, you are here to bless God because you are his children. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. We are here for him. And he, in reality, is always there for us, blessing us. So they were always at the temple, blessing God, praising him. May we continue in that same tradition. May we continue to bless and strengthen one another by the power of his word, through the encouragement of his Spirit. And may we also live victoriously in this world. Because if ever there was a time that this world was needing a light, it is now. And I'm not saying it's any darker than any other times. The dark times were bad, but light was needed then. And you know what? In the day of confusion that we live in, it's all the more needed. May we continue to glorify him and be blessed for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that was before us. And Father, we know by human frailty we have a tendency to mar it. But one thing that we know is that even our blemishes don't compare to your perfection. Father, that we are in reality strengthened by your word, by your Spirit. And we ask that you would allow us to enter out into this world this week and the weeks to come as more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loves us. That we would live victorious lives. We know, Father, each and every one of us has a struggle. Each and every one of us has our own battle. But Father, may we understand and know we don't do it alone. But by the power of your Spirit that we would be encouraged, even yet for one more day. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. And there's your peace to you. Amen.